Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, daspitlaw.com.
Summers in Texas are hot, but not for me, John Granato, because I have Coors Light. And Coors Light is all about keeping Texas chill. Do you want to beat the summer heat? I recommend cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Grab a 12-pack or case so that you got your home base covered. And when you're hanging at your favorite watering hole, order a bottle or a bucket with those beautiful blue mountains. I love me some Coors Light. You will, too. Choose chill. Choose Coors Light.
This message is approved by the man of the people, John Granato.
This is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zada Jewelers, KFNC, and 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here, talking a lot of Texans football. A very disappointing loss last night. Very disappointing for more than a few reasons. Mostly offensively. The defense has to take its share because it couldn't stop them. They let Baker Mayfield, and they knew Baker Mayfield had that scrambling ability. As a matter of fact, they talked about it this week, about how he was able to, and they watched a lot of film of him escaping, missing him on that play, Henry Toa, that was just terrible. But probably the biggest plays of the game, down on the 1 yard line, and you throw 2 bad passes. If you're going to go for it on fourth down, run the ball twice. Run the ball twice and get 1 yard. If you're going for it on fourth down, why are you throwing it like two bad, terrible throws?
Slowick's gone. We're going to be fine.
Yeah, I guess we're going to be fine.
Oh, it's fine. Bobby Slowick's gone. Everything's fine. He was the problem. Listen, one thing we're finding out is Bobby Slowick was the problem.
Well,
it had nothing to do with the quarterback. Any other play caller could just step in and call great plays.
Well, I heard it was Popovich.
It's not the offensive line coach. I mean, it's not the offensive lineman.
It's Strasser.
It's everybody. Look, yeah. Strasser had to go. He was
terrible, but Popovich is great.
It was always.
I don't know if you heard. He's awesome.
It was always more than Bobby Slowick. It was always more than just, you just had to call the good plays. That's why we've been making such a joke about it. Because it was always more than that. And you saw it. It was on full display yesterday. And there's a lot of blame to go around. There's a lot. Interior defensive line sucked. Couldn't stop anybody. Linebackers, atrocious. Caught blocks. Aziz Alshire was absolutely dreadful against the run. Sat on a second level and waited to just catch blocks. Was a non-factor. Non-factor. It started to tighten up a little bit when Christian Harris came in. He actually was getting downhill and making some plays. The defensive tackles were terrible. Moved around at will by Tampa's interior. You got beaten by a team with a center who had to step out to tackle, by Charlie Heck. Luke Gehdeke, their starting right tackle, was out early in the game. So Charlie Heck and a center, Graham Barton, who's a good player, played left tackle. Those are the tackles that beat you. Now, I will say, you did heat it up defensively in the second half. The pass rush was much better. Defensively, you were better. But when you needed to be your best, you couldn't do it. Henry Toto was just running around like his head, like a chicken with its head cut off. Couldn't make a tackle because he's coming at 100 miles an hour instead of understanding that he's got to come and basically clean up the pocket, which means break down in space and make sure nobody leaks out on a 4th and 10. Because the Texans were just blitzing nonstop at the end of the game. Missed the 4th and 10. And then, and truth be told, Emeka Egbuka dropped a long pass by Baker that should have been a completion.
Yep.
And at the end, I figured, well, they're just going to run it here. I mean, they got 9 seconds. They got timeouts. All they got to do is run it and they'll get a touchdown because the Texans can't stop a run. I mean, the Texans hadn't stopped a run all day long, and they couldn't. The play calling, as you mentioned, down on the goal line, this is the least look, you've clearly got to get creative with two teams, the Longhorns and the Texans, because neither one of those teams can score from the 1 yard line. You got to come up with something play calling wise to create misdirection, to do something to create opportunity. Nick Caley is a rookie play caller. He's never done this. Yeah. He's never done this. He's calling plays like a guy who's never done it. This is what you get. This is what you get when you don't hire a veteran play caller or you don't stick with Slowik and see what happens in year three. You get a guy who you starting fresh. He's called plays for 2 games, John. That's it. And his goal line series, 3 plays from the 1, and you get nothing. You get nothing. Terrible.
Terrible. The first run, awful, and then the 2 passes were just incredibly bad. I mean, if you're going to throw that pass, you have to throw it where Nico can actually catch it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to hear anything about C.J. Stroud. It's a razor-thin margin. This guy wants to get paid $60 million. Yeah. Make the throw.
Yep.
The throw like a $60 million quarterback then. Because it is a small window throw. You're supposed to be one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the league. Make the throw a better throw. It was off target. You're right. It was impossible for Nico to grab that and come in bounds.
Yep. The first one.
The first one is what I'm talking about. The second one had no chance.
No chance. No chance whatsoever.
And I didn't like that play.
And why, if you're going to go for it, run the damn – these coaches are just – it's just incredible. Low percentage passes in such a crowded area. And not only that, but the 2-point conversion. My goodness, CJ, just throw it anywhere.
I know.
You just stood there and let them sack you. That's just terrible.
We're going to have an uncomfortable conversation about CJ today. We're going to have an uncomfortable conversation because I'm going to tell you what. You got to be a little bit concerned with that processing. He is sitting back there for a long time. And it's just like I don't think he has a plan on where to go with the football. I don't know what the routes are. I don't know if they're too long developing. I don't know what the deal is. I'll know today if the All-22 is in, I'll get to see it. But I can tell you this. It's just like as soon as the ball snapped, he's starting from scratch on what he wants to do. And you can't do that in the NFL. You just can't. And I really worry about if CJ is a guy who processes quickly enough what the defense is doing so that he can attack them back. The Texans feel like they're in a completely reactive offense now. They're reacting to what the defense is doing. And when anytime you do that and you don't put the defense on their heels, you're in trouble because you're basically just trying to prevent bad plays from happening. That's where they are right now. So I don't know. I can tell you this. CJ doesn't look like a guy I want to give $60 million to, and that's what's going to be the payday by the time he's up. It's going to be $60 million to pay a quarterback. And who says you're not going to be in the same spot where the Cowboys are with Dak? And frankly, Dak plays better than CJ does. We have a sample size now, John.
We have a sample size
where we can say, if you look at the good games versus the bad games versus the average games, and you put them all in little tunnels, you put them all in silos, there's too many that are stacking up in the bad and average side and not enough on the good side.
Yeah. No, he's got to play much. And listen, do something. Move the pocket. Roll out. Do whatever it takes. He was pressured on 42%, next-gen stats, 42% of his dropbacks. It's unacceptable. But then go to a quick passing game. Mm-hmm. Go to hot routes.
Yeah.
Hit your running back on swing passes. Do something
different.
Yeah,
and that's on Caley also.
Yeah.
No, that's absolutely on Caley also.
Absolutely.
You know, CJ's got it. Can he check out and get to other plays? Like, I thought that's what I thought that was
yeah.
in
no,
the mix.
No, he's supposed to be able to read the defense, see where it's coming from, make the calls. Get. I'll tell you what, Woody Marks needs to be playing. Woody Marks mm-hmm. needs to be on the field. First of all, he did a nice job in picking up the blitz. Dare Ogunbowale is awful. Is awful right now. He had a 1.4 a grade on pass protection. 1.4. He was let. I texted the group. What the hell is Dare? What are you doing? He's bad. He's really, really bad. Keep him on special teams. That's where he belongs. He shouldn't be on the field. He's not good right now. I don't care. I know you love him. I know you guys love him. But Dare Ogunbowale is terrible right now. You can't have him on the field. You didn't even dress Damian Pierce. You couldn't dress him because of how bad he was last week.
Who are you going to keep four running backs?
Yeah, you got to keep the only guy who made a play. I mean, Nick Chubb had the nice run, 25 yards.
Well, you know, did they let them score there, by the way?
No, there's no chance they let them score. When you're down by five, they're not going to let you score and take the lead.
All they needed was a field goal. All they needed was a field goal to kill off the clock and win the game.
Yeah, right.
You know that, right? Because I didn't think so either. And then somebody made that point that they let them score. And I was like, well, it's the first time that Nick Chubb was into the, you know, scot-free in a run where he was breaking free. Like, have you ever seen Nick Chubb as a Texan run for 20-plus yards?
No.
I've never even seen what it looks like until – and I thought, from that far away, you're usually not going to let him score. Now, you know, had the Texans just run the ball and been inept offensively, which is what they do, John, they don't score touchdowns. They kick field goals. If you're just stay with me for a second here, because I was thinking this through. I'm like, Tampa was going to keep them from scoring a touchdown. The Texans wouldn't have scored a touchdown. They would have had to be burning off timeouts, which they didn't need anyway. Truth be told, Tampa scored with two timeouts left.
Yeah.
Scored with two timeouts left. They didn't even need timeouts against you.
You don't want to have to score a touchdown instead of kicking a field goal. The Texans were down one point.
Yeah, that's
the Texans were down 1 point at the time.
That's a good point. I'm just trying to figure out how the Texans had a wide open running
lane. I understand. I watched that play to see what people were saying. I don't know if Jarrett Patterson will ever block Vita Vea that good again.
Oh, is that right?
I was like, oh. Well, That's why I would question, because Vita Vea was like, let's get shoved around by Jarrett Patterson. Something that had not happened all game long.
I'm going to go watch it.
Yeah, no way. No, Titus Howard had
Well, whatever
block.
It was, it worked.
It worked. I mean, there's no way you let him score a touchdown there. No. You want to kick it because you only want to kick a field goal to win the game. You're not going to give him a touchdown there. You're going to try and stop him because you can stop him because they're the Texans.
And then they kick a field goal, and then
you're out of time.
How much time do you have?
No timeouts.
That would have been the drawback for them. But yeah, you stop
them. Three timeouts left.
I know, but they would have had to burn them all. Is what I'm saying. But that would have been the only drawback. But hey, either way, Tampa didn't matter. They went down and scored.
God. All right. We're just seeing watching the replay again of Yordan's ankle. What a dingbat.
So, well, no, dude. Here's the thing about that. Have you ever stepped on home plate with spikes on?
Yeah, obviously.
It's slippery.
I've played
it really is.
Level.
It's the dumbest thing ever. If you got spikes on and you step on home plate, you run about. This is absolutely a possibility. He left in a boot.
Well, why doesn't everyone else do it then? If it's such a great possibility, how many sprained ankles have we seen from guys just stepping on home plate?
We have seen sprained ankles before. I'm telling you, it's slippery.
That's fine. You're telling me that. I'm trying to figure out where all the sprained ankles are from people slipping when no one's even around them and breaking their freaking ankles. Like, stupid Yordan did.
It does happen. It happens. I'm telling
you. When? I've never seen it. In all my years of watching Astros baseball, it's the first time I've ever seen it.
You've never seen
I've the, never seen somebody just
twist his ankle
sprain an ankle
play.
When they're running through and
just
scoring a run.
Player
I've
if,
never
if
seen it.
If it's slippery. Just ask
I've never
player.
Seen it. I'm telling you, I've just never seen it. Only it happens only to us and only to injury-prone Yordan.
No.
What? This is a new injury. I've never seen him. I've seen knee injuries. I've seen hand injuries. I've seen obliques. This is a new one for him. I haven't seen ankles, so we get to add something new to his little doctor's chart. Well, new injury, new doctor to see.
He's done. And by the way, yeah, he's probably done. He left in a boot with crutches. Yordan's done. That just, yeah. So just so you know. How about that? Yeah. So we got to find, we got to hear from CJ and D'Amico after the, CJ sounded about as dejected as you can sound.
Good.
So we'll hear from him.
No, he won't, Dell said. No, he won't.
We don't have it. We don't
haven't seen anyone with CJ audio. It's not even up on the website yet.
Okay, we'll quote it then. We'll quote what CJ had to say. Yeah, I haven't seen it either.
We'll find it. I want to hear this dejection.
Yeah, no, he was. By all accounts, many people said he was as dejected as we've seen him. And rightfully so. And rightfully so. Right now, we got to talk about...
Hey, he wanted a new OC, so sleep tight.
Yeah, I wanted a new OC, and I want another one.
I do too.
I want new OCs.
I want somebody who's done it before.
Yeah. So now that I got my new OC, I want another one. My kids, I get them a new phone, and then in like 2 months, it's broken, so I got to get them another one. This OC is broken. Let's get another one, okay? Let's find one that actually can call the good play.
Can I ask a question before we go to break?
Yeah.
If you are now want your third OC before you finish your third season under a head coach, should we be asking about the head coach?
Ooh, see, you got rid of your head coach Flores because of that, right?
Wait. Dell said something when we come back. Dell said something that was so smart that I had to question if he said it. I think he stole it.
You were
and
very,
John thinks he stole it from the broadcast.
They're both very insulting in their response.
Well, because we've never heard you say anything smart.
What? See? More insulting.
Yeah. Well, that's not insulting. It's just fact.
Do I have a spot? Because I got to clean up this freaking coffee. Do I have a spot?
Lance, you might have heard the sound, John. Lance slammed his drink down and made a mess. You don't. You can go get a paper towel.
You can go get a paper towel while I talk about GiveMeTheVIN.com. The best place to sell your car. Even better now. It's the GiveMeTheVIN.com big cash giveaway. GiveMeTheVIN.com is giving away $25,000 in cash. There are two ways to win. You get 250 chances to win with your mail-in entry, or 1,000 chances to win if they buy your car. So now they've added. It used to be just if they bought your car, you get 1,000 chances to win. Let's throw them in the hopper. Let's pick a name. Now, though, you can go to GiveMeTheVIN.com, find out where you mail in your entry, and you get 250 shots at getting the $25,000. So, I mean, that's that easy. Go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. I don't care what it is that you want to sell, your daily driver, your pickup truck, your classic. If it's a classic, he loves classic cars and gives way more for those. Go to GiveMeTheVIN.com and find out for yourself. It's so easy, right on the money, providing you hassle-free online option to sell your car. Go to GiveMeTheVIN.com, enter your car's VIN number or license plate, and in minutes you find out how much it's worth. And if they can't be CarMax, they're going to send you $100. So it's a guarantee that you're going to get more for your vehicle at GiveMeTheVIN.com. Plus, you got the $25,000 giveaway. GiveMeTheVIN.com, GiveMeTheVIN.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, it sucked last night. The Astros didn't, though. They bounced back. How about Zach Cole?
Got a new nickname. John Daspa texted me, Zach King Cole.
Oh, how about that? Zach King Cole. That's awesome. That is pretty good. That's
man, what's crazy is if you do, well, you're fighting for the playoffs. I don't know if you'll make it, but.
Listen, took Jordan's place. If Jordan homered and then knocked in another run with a single to add on, if he had a two-run homer and then a single after that, you'd say, oh, Jordan's the greatest ever. Well, what about Zach Cole? Mm-hmm. Zach Cole did that in Jordan's spot.
Is Zach Cole going to take, well, Jordan being out now is going to. He's going to open some things up, but is he going to take the other rookie Cam Smith's place full time? That's what I was wondering because, you know, Cam is not really Cam anymore. No. He has flashes, but man, Zach Cole right now has got a 1400 OPS with he's hitting over 400.
Now, small sample size, but man.
Four games.
Yeah, he's hitting for now. I'll take the hot streak.
Cam Smith was hot, too, for his first four games.
So mm-hmm. we'll see. No, not but, for his first four. Took a little while.
But he eventually
got there.
He did get there. All right, we got, how about this? Did you ever hear of Buccaneer James?
No.
Okay, there's a Buccaneer James that's on the line.
I have never heard of Buccaneer James.
We got to hear this. We got to hear this because we love when the opposing team calls in to walk the walk with us here. Mm-hmm. Buccaneer James, what's going on?
Lance, you have heard of me. We talked a couple months ago, and I said, watch out for Vita Vea. And so don't act like you haven't heard from me, Lance. But I will keep it short and sweet. First, three things. First off, this was paid back from the Tank Dell game from a couple years ago when we took the lead and Tank Dell closed it out. So that was paid back. Number two, the Bucs dominated the line of scrimmage. That was the thing I was most surprised of. We were missing Tristan Wirfs, all-pro tackle, and then our other right tackle, Luke Getteke, went out. And for us to still run the ball that way and protect Baker was amazing. And lastly, let's give Baker his credit, man. 4th and 10, that scramble, the gutsy plays, the moxie. Baker has, not given love from the national media. It's his time to give him. He's better than C.J. Stroud. I think it's time to put that to bed. That's it, fellas.
Okay, first of all, you told us about Vita Vea. He's an all-pro. Yeah, that's like somebody calling in. You guys, you better watch out for Saquon Barkley, okay? You heard it here first. But to your other points, C.J. Stroud is not as good as Baker Mayfield.
No.
He's not. Well, it's not even a discussion. And I thought, Del, why don't you unleash your little thing that you stole from the broadcast or wherever you got it from the internet?
I didn't steal it from the broadcast. In fact, it's not even that great of a point now that I think of it, but I will take credit since you reacted in the way you did. Because of what we talked about, CJ won the new play caller. Credit for Baker Mayfield for this. Kingmaker. Baker Mayfield is on his third OC in three seasons, but not because he got them fired. It's because he was so good, they got head coaching jobs. Now, Dave Canales and Liam Cohen, not so great so much for Dave Canales and Liam Cohen right now. It's only two games in. But, yeah, Baker has done enough to go get two guys head coaching jobs. Todd Bowles, of all people, a defensive guy, has hired two guys, thanks to Baker, who have gone on to be head coaches.
Yeah. Todd Bowles found job security.
Yeah, because of Baker.
Because of Baker and his play, really. I mean, Mike Evans, too, and Vita Vea and other guys, too. But when you look at CJ, he had an offensive coordinator who was interviewing for head coaching jobs and who was calling plays for him when he was Offensive Rookie of the Year. And that guy was gone after year two. That ain't all on Slowik, by the way. for a guy who's a friend of the head coach, who was just the play caller for Offensive Rookie of the Year and who was interviewing at multiple places for a head coaching job, and then he's gone. That's not all on him, obviously. And now they hire another one, and this doesn't look good either. And CJ's not going to be happy with this one. I can tell you that. He's not going to be happy with this one.
So here's, for whatever reason, we don't have CJ's, the audio. Here's what CJ had to say. Quote, "We just didn't get the ball in the end zone. That's kind of plain, kind of simple. We just didn't get the ball in the end zone. That's all I can really think. It's a young offense. We can make a bunch of excuses, but we're just not getting it done. At the end of the day, that's all that matters. We're moving the ball pretty well. We just got to put 7 points on the board. That's the big difference right now." He also said, "People are going to say we suck. We just can't listen to it, and we've got to stay together." I'm paraphrasing there. But he did say, people are going to say we suck. And he's absolutely right about that. I'm seeing it. You're seeing it on your timeline. I'm seeing D'Amico can't coach. I'm seeing CJ sucks. I'm seeing the team sucks. Do they suck? I'm watching watch that Colts game. I'm watching Daniel Jones and I'm like, boy, I wish we got this kind of quarterback play. That's crazy. Watching Baker Mayfield going, man, look at that throw. That's a great throw. You know what we're getting? We're getting none of that. Look at this offense that can actually run a football.
You know what we did? None of that. I mean, how about the way, I mean, I think it was Aaron, might have been Aaron Wilson, went to ask CJ, maybe it was DJ Bienemy, or I don't know, it was one of them. They asked CJ, hey, how about not, you guys couldn't stop the run today? He goes, did you watch the same game I did? You couldn't stop the run last night. You couldn't stop the run. They ran it down your throat last night. Over 5 yards of carry.
Mm-hmm.
So that, hey, CJ, and by the way, he came up, he said he came up
afterwards. What did CJ say?
CJ Gardner-Johnson.
Oh.
Hey, CD, you couldn't stop the run last night.
What did he say? He said,
you watched a different game than I did.
No. Was it asked specifically about the run game?
Yeah.
Dude, what? Not being able to stop the run. Don't act like we can't. Don't act like this is the night, this is Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game and we can't see it on video.
Yeah.
We saw the game. You couldn't stop anyone on the ground.
They ran it down your throat to win the game.
Yeah,
it was a no doubter. I tweeted right before. I'm like, I'm running it here. You can't stop us. You can't stop them. It was a no doubter that you can't stop them. You have no chance.
Yeah.
Run the ball, score touchdown, game over. That's what was going to happen. And it wasn't even one of those things where we got to go to video. Did he get across? It was no doubt. Just like every running play was a no-doubt play for them.
And it wasn't just because Baker was able to scramble. Rashad White and Bucky Irvin, they just crushed them. They just destroyed that defensive line.
They were getting whipped up front, the defensive tackles. The linebackers were just catching blocks and sitting on them. And it was bad. Azeez Al-Shaair's just not going to be good enough. I mean, that's just not good enough. He's just not. And To'o, you know, he did something. He had some nice hits that were memorable, but he's not good enough. Yeah. I would honestly rather see EJ Speed and Christian Harris out there running.
Why is EJ Speed never on the field?
I don't know. I guess he's too fast and hits too hard.
I guess. Why is EJ Speed, a guy who started
with the Colts.
Colts and can't get on the field here?
Because these two guys are D'Amico guys. Honestly, you really want to know the truth. Azeez is the D'Amico guy. D'Amico loves him. But I think he loves To'o also equally. And there are times they make plays, but it's not enough. Like, I don't see them as impact linebackers. And they really didn't do their job yesterday against the run. I'm watching all 22 now. I'm starting with Texans offensive plays in the run game. And early on, they're actually, you know, playing with some grit and strength. And it doesn't look terrible so far in the run game. I already know they only ran the ball 17 times all game. So it's not like they did it a lot. They had fewer than 50 total offensive plays.
Just crap. Just terrible. I mean, oh, my gosh. Win that game. Stop them. 4th and 10. Henry To'o To'o. Don't freaking sell out Jalen Petrie like trying to sack the quarterback. You didn't need
what
a sack.
Doing? All you got to do is corral him. You just have to corral him and make sure he can't slip out. That's all you had to do. Yeah. That was awful. That was awful by him. And you know what? Honestly, you really want to know the truth. I think we got away with one on Jalen Noel's punt return because that, how did they pick up on Tremont Smith? Like, that's almost always a penalty.
Well, I didn't look. And
blocking the back.
Yeah, but the ref he said, I'm proud of him that they picked up that flag. It wasn't a penalty.
Why wasn't it?
Because he just had his arm on him. It wasn't like he pushed
him.
Yeah,
but they always call that. And pick the flag up, it's one thing not to call it. To pick it up after it's been called, that's extremely rare. Now, the officials missed a clear leg whip.
Yep.
To turn into a touchdown. Yep. Missed a clear leg. Because you know what? Laster was on it. Laster did a great job to avoid the block, and he was going to make a tackle there.
Yep.
Probably.
Charlie Heck. Charlie Heck out there.
Revenge. Charlie Heck's revenge game.
Charlie Heck is, I mean, he also did get bull rushed and destroyed Baker.
This is the first time that I would say I would rather have Baker Mayfield than C.J. Stroud. I wouldn't have said it last year. I'd been like, you know what? Let's see what happens year three when the good plays are called.
No. I asked you as we came in, do you feel like you're quarterback insecure now?
I am. I'm quarterback hungry.
Good there.
I am. I don't know where my next touchdown's coming from. So, yeah, I am quarterback insecure. I don't know where my next touchdown
is. So bad offensively. So bad. I mean, make a big play.
Get two touchdowns. One in the first on the first drive.
Did they throw it downfield again? I mean,
well, they had three plays over 20 yards pretty early on.
Of course, one of them was a little out to Woody Marks.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
one was a little screen, but they attacked. They had some throws down the field with Nico, not a ton, but I would imagine they're just seeing Tampa 2 again. And honestly, I didn't think Nico got as many targets as I thought he should have.
You can't possibly. It's impossible. Oh, no, that's right, because I saw the Giants throw one into Tampa 2 and score a touchdown. Holy crap. Wow. You can't throw against Tampa 2.
How much time did Russ have?
It doesn't matter. You don't
have to. Yeah, it matters. It matters.
Oh, I saw Baker run out of the pocket.
Well, that's
on the run and hit Ibuka in stride.
Well, that's a different quarterback. That's not your quarterback.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then we need a different quarterback.
Mm-mm. A different play caller, a different quarterback. How many changes are we making?
We need a new team.
I need a different center, a different right guard. I'm just saying, from a talent upgrade, yeah. I'm not saying, I don't know, I got to watch it all. Patterson just had an impossible matchup against Vita Vea. Yeah. I'll see about Ed Ingram. I don't know. I want to see how the offensive line played when I look at the tape, which I'm doing right now. But I just know from a talent standpoint, you got to get better at center. You got to get better at right guard. For sure, those two. You're not replacing left guard. He just signed a contract. You're not replacing your two tackles. And Ursary, I think, is going to end up being pretty good. I'm not sure I like these linebackers enough to be a championship-level team. The defensive tackles are made for getting up the field and disrupting and trying to get sacks. But what they're not made for is clogging the drain and stopping a run.
Right, right.
You don't have that.
And they were susceptible to that. All right. You need a new payroll company, okay? That's what you need. You need a new payroll company, and I got one for you, HR&P. All right. If you're with an admin company right now, they're doing all the administration stuff for you and your business. That's great. How are they doing? How much are you paying them? How much are you paying for your insurance? How much are you paying for your 401k? All right. How much are you paying them? Take a look at it. Okay. Because there's a little secret going on in that industry where I'm trying to expose it. I'm trying to expose it for what it is. That they, look at how low our payroll is. Look how low we charge you for your HR. And then they destroy you on the 401k and the insurance package. Because that's what they do. That's exactly what they do. They lure you in, and then they punch you in the face. Okay? Stop getting punched in the face with your 401k and your insurance. Okay? HR&P, they give you options. What's the best option for your company with the 401ks and the insurance packages? What's the best for you? Not what's the best for the admin company. So find out. Why don't you just find out what the difference is going to be with HR&P? Go to HRP.net or call them. They'll come. They'll take a look at your business, see how you're doing everything, and they'll tell you exactly where you can save money. 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
Let's talk about St. Arnold, a chance for you to have your big parties over at St. Arnold. It could be, if it's a big party, a huge party, get the beer hall. That can hold up to 300 people. If you're going 100 to 300 people, that's a beer hall. If you're looking for something a little smaller, you know, 30 to 100, somewhere in that neighborhood, Investors Pub will be right for you. And they'll help, you know, they'll help figure it out. Either location, you're going to have audio visual available for you to use. So you have a microphone. You can do whatever out there. You can play your PowerPoints. You can turn it into a business meeting. You could do something fun like a rehearsal dinner where you've got videos or old slide shots or pictures that you want to show when the bride and the groom were kids, something like that. You know, they do everything. Christmas parties are great to have there because you've already got the beer. It's built in beer and cider. They got their own homemade root beer, and the food is phenomenal. You can go small with like at tables if you want with just their appetizers, or you can go big with a full-on feast where the whole menu is open. Buffet style, sit down, whatever you're looking for, they can make happen. Just know that St. Arnold is going to turn your party into an easy-to-enjoy event for you or for anyone else who would have been forced to organize it previously. That's what they do. StArnold.com, click private events, and get your date and your time locked in right now while you can here in September. It's StArnold.com, private events.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Did you see CJ's outfit walking into the game?
I didn't.
I almost like Kyler Murray's better. I just wish my quarterback would dress not or just regular.
You wouldn't care if you played better.
I still want him to dress better.
Yeah, but it would be less bothersome if he had just thrown.
Have you seen what Joe Burrow wears?
Well, that's why he's out for three months.
Guess what? He's no longer with us. Okay, so there. Hey, Damaris Barbecue sponsoring your shrinking waistline today with their incredible Greek salad. You can add proteins like brisket, beef fajita, chicken, turkey. I get the turkey. It's excellent. It's really, really good. I think it's the best Greek salad in the city. I really do. So if you're looking for a great Greek salad, let's go. We got a full board. We got a full board, so let's get them in. Who's first, Del? Bobby. Hey, Bobby. Is this Bobby Slowick? We need you
morning,
back.
Fellas.
Hey, Bobby.
Get a couple positives out of the way. Your defense has allowed 34 points in two games. We're giving up 17 points a game, and that's against two legitimate Super Bowl contending offenses. So run game obviously wasn't great yesterday, but they gave up 20 points. And if your defense is giving up 20 points at home, you should have a shot, right?
Yeah.
Let's go back to December 1st of last year. 23, 20, 19, 2, 23, 32, 23, 20, 19, and whatever the hell they scored yesterday, 14 and 19. This defense, this offense is trash. And it comes down to two reasons. One, head coaching, and I love D'Amico, but the head coaching has been awful. You're sloppy. You're making terrible decisions. It is second and goal at the 3-yard line. You go pass, pass, bootleg left, remove half the field in a cramped zone, and obviously you don't convert. And CJ is just not good enough. And I'm tired of the Jalen Green treatment. I don't want to spend a week looking at deep stats, saying how good CJ was, that the offensive line is so bad, and he doesn't have a run game. It is what it is. You are not good enough. And the best analogy I saw is when your A student brings home a B-minus, you don't compliment him and tell him to get him next time. You tell him, no, this is not good enough. You are not a top 5 quarterback, not a top 10 quarterback, but barely hitting top 15 quarterback right now. And it's okay for us to start having the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of good points. The scariest point is that, you know, D'Amico hired Kaylee. And I don't know. Maybe Kaylee will be good. Kaylee's a rookie play caller. He's called plays for two games. He's going to learn. He's going to get better. But on whose time? On CJ's time? With his rookie contract. This is the whole thing. It's the rookie contract. Everyone knows that CJ's going to end up costing you $60 million a year, whether he's good or average. It doesn't matter. He can be Trevor Lawrence 2.0, and he's still getting $60 million. The Texans aren't moving on from CJ Stroud. So if he isn't better than this, then you're going to get this version for $60 million, and there's nothing you can do about it because that's the way the NFL works. You're just in a queue, you're in a line, and the next man up. As soon as the next quarterback gets his plate, then he moves aside, and the next quarterback comes in to get his plate of money. That's what it is, and it doesn't matter how good you are. It really doesn't matter how good you are. You just have to be – there's a line. You're either good enough to get a huge payday or you're bad. That's all it is. And there's not really averages even encompassed inside that thought process. So now you got CJ Stroud on a rookie contract year three, and you got another rookie play caller. And this guy's having to learn on the job. It's understandable. We would all be learning on the job if we just started a job. But that's really D'Amico to understand that you just went through this process and a guy that CJ didn't really care for from not personally, but just, you know, I think play calling wise, just didn't care for that. And you didn't either. You thought it was too predictable. So you go from that for 2 years of the rookie deal with 5 years on the rookie deal. By the way, the fifth year, he's going to get paid pretty well. So now you got two more years of not having to pay huge money, 3 years total before you got to make a big paycheck delivery to CJ. And now you go with another rookie play caller. Because he's from the Rams, because he's a former Ram, I guess he's going to be the poo. So now you're dealing with another rookie play caller. That's on DeMeco. That is. And I like DeMeco a lot too. But, you know, at his point about rolling, you're going to roll. By the way, you're not rolling right. You're rolling left, which is a harder throw to make because it's harder to open your hips. Now you're rolling left, going to the short side of the field. Well, I think they were in the midpoint, but and it was a terrible call. It was a terrible set of calls by Nick Caley down there. It just was. It wasn't. It's not good enough. And CJ Stroud is not good enough.
But to both your points in the first segment, while you don't like throwing the third down after the second down stop by Vea, your quarterback has an open Nico Collins, hit him. And while you don't like the play call, he was open because he's Nico Collins.
Yep.
Your quarterback has to hit him.
Is there any thought about taking a field goal there? I didn't really think about it. But then again, you always look at it and go, it seems, swear to God, at the end of games, you go, man, I wish we had that
three. We had that three.
Always happens.
I wish we had that three. Every single time. Yep. All right. Who's next, Del? Jeff is next. What up, Jeff?
Hey, good morning, Mike Kings. How y'all doing this morning?
Good.
Hey, just to reiterate what Lance just took out of my mouth and the previous guy, then I got a question for you. When it's second and goal from the one, I mean, I don't know why he's in a shotgun position to begin with. I mean, now you're 7-8 yards back, handing off to the back parallel. I mean, why CJ's 6'3", I think. What's wrong with a quarterback keeper right there? Why wouldn't you have maybe the tight ends in motion to block for you and try to put it over the top? I don't get it. And then you run the ball three times up the gut for 1 yard. If you don't get it, you don't get it. You leave behind a half-yard line. I don't know about the field goal. It's easy to think about after the fact, but we could have used it. And my question to you guys was, what do you think was worse, this game or the previous game? And I'll get off, and y'all have a good day.
I don't know how you quantify that.
No, I don't either. You didn't score a touchdown last game. How about after you block a punt that you don't get 1 yard? You don't get 1 yard after you blocked a punt.
Pathetic. And you should have blocked two punts.
And if Lavonte David catches a pick, you don't score, right?
Oh, my God.
What was CJ doing? Why would CJ throw it directly to Lavonte David's hands?
I have no idea. What was he thinking there?
I have no idea.
Holy crap. It's so bad. It's so bad. I mean, this offense is awful. In large part because you can't now, there's so much talk about Laramie Tunsil. About, look, you get rid of your butt because he didn't dress right for you. No, you got rid of Laramie Tunsil because he's a cancer in the locker room. Okay? And the Redskins are going to find that out too. And they're going to have to, he's going to be with a bunch of teams that Miami wanted him out. We wanted him out. He's going to be out at Washington as well. He's going to be moving all over the league because he's Laramie Tunsil. He's good, but you know what? You can't have it. You can't have his attitude. That's why, not because of how he dresses.
They're trying to get it. They're trying to get something.
And you are just – somebody said – they didn't even address the offensive line. I'm fighting with him on Twitter. I'm like, what? They got four new starters this year. How do you – what do you mean? And a new coach.
I mean
– how did they not address the offensive line? Not that they did it well. They didn't do it well, but they addressed it. They absolutely addressed it. When you got four new starters, you know, you just don't know how to pick them. You're really terrible at this,
well,
Nick.
Well, one of the starters was you traded a seventh for him. He was a cast off from Minnesota. One of your starters didn't play football last year. So I don't know that that's really addressing it with key components, although I will say I thought Jake Andrews actually played okay in the first game. I didn't dislike him at all. Your left guard, you gave money to, Lakin Tomlinson. He's a very hitter. He's hit or miss from snap to snap. And an Ursary, I think, is, you know, that's a second round pick. That's
a big pick.
Yeah, that's draft. You know, your left tackle and your left guard, you put capital into.
Wait, you put capital in the Juice Scruggs. You put capital into Cam Robinson
three years ago. Well
no, he was so a, what? You have put a lot of capital into this offensive line.
I mean, I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. You're arguing to the guy because I think they did address it the best they could with what they had draft pick wise and what they needed at wide receiver. They had to have more than one wide receiver. And then you throw Tank Dell, Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, just they were gone. You had to draft two wide receivers.
Then why are they playing more over the likes of Watson and Hutchinson?
You mean, you mean Higgins?
Higgins and
I guess just because they're rookies, you know.
Okay.
Just teams don't. People have a hard time believing this, but rookie wide receivers typically do not get out of the box real fast.
Yeah, the first rounders are pretty good, but, you know,
yeah.
Puka will hit, but a lot of them don't hit immediately.
They don't. Take a little time, and that's. I'm not worried about Higgins. You saw Jalen Noel was terrific. Noel was terrific in special teams. And I think he's going to be good as a wide receiver, too. Yeah, but you're right. They still love Xavier Hutchinson. He had a really good. I think some of it goes to CJ. CJ loves. Listen, CJ is more powerful in that locker room than you guys know. I mean, he likes Xavier Hutchinson. Xavier Hutchinson's going to be in the 11 personnel grouping, starting the three wide receivers. And I don't see him making a lot of plays.
Do something different. You know what? Go four wide. You know what? Do something different. Do something.
I think quick pass and attack is what has to happen. I haven't seen it yet.
How can you do anything else? You can't stand in the pocket.
The last time I saw it was the second half against the Chargers, and it worked well.
All right, we got a break. We're way behind. You guys got calls. We're going to get you in. 713-780-3776. Listen, I've had so many air conditioning issues. It just is, and it's on me. I'm taking the blame. I didn't do anything about my air conditioners for years. We just let them sit. Oh, yeah, fine. Turn it on. It's going to be okay. Dumb. Cost me big time. Don't be dumb like me. Have you looked at your air conditioners? Have you checked the Freon? Have you checked the coils? Have you checked the motor? Have you checked the wiring? Have you checked everything? Because that's what Air Team does. Air Team will come and for a low, low price, they'll come and check out everything, make sure it's all working correctly. And you add a little Freon or you need to clean them out because there's leaves in it, whatever it is, Air Team will do it for a low, low price. And then you don't have to call them back and say, wow, I need a new air conditioner because you were smart. They got emergency service 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and it's an emergency if you lose your air conditioning. AirTeamLTD.com, locally owned and operated for 40, going on 40 years in the city of Houston, family owned and operated. The Curtises are awesome. You'll love doing business with them, and they'll love doing business with you. 713-936-5346, 713-936-5346, or AirTeamLTD.com.
All right, I'm taking a look at the Taquerias Arandas menu right now, and it's really simple. With Taquerias Arandas, you have locations all over the city of Houston. Gulfton, you got it on South Main, Gessner, Wirt Road, North Shepherd. I mean, all over the place. So you can find Taquerias Arandas. And I suggest you stop in. If you're looking for something to get you going in the morning, stop in and have one of their delicious breakfast items. Their breakfast tacos are awesome. The bacon and egg breakfast taco is in the potato and egg. These are just hearty filling. You can be the hero. Get the breakfast tacos that you want. Bean, egg, and cheese. You know, whatever. Bean, egg, bacon. Whatever combinations you want. Call it in. Have them make it for you. Pick it up and take it to the office. Or don't give anyone anything and just keep it all for yourself. I don't care. I know that for the breakfast, it's going to hit for you. For lunch, might I suggest their street tacos or their gorditas or possibly something as simple as the five taquitos, which are Giovanni Marquez's favorite, is the five taquitos with an horchata drink. That might be something you want. I just know you're going to get authentic Mexican food. You're going to get great portions, and you're going to get a price that will not break your wallet and break the bank. That's what I'm talking about with Taquerias Arandas. Locations around the city of Houston. Lunch, breakfast, dinner, it doesn't matter. Anytime you want authentic Mexican, they're going to deliver. It's Taquerias Arandas.
John and Lance, weekday mornings from 7 to 10. You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. Robert Redford died.
Fair question.
89 years old, Robert Redford died.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
89. He was 89. Man, he played at a high level when he was older.
Yeah, he did. Best movie, The Sting.
Yeah.
Or Butch Cassidy. I don't know. Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid. I don't know.
What's crazy is there's that meme of Robert Redford, and I didn't know it was Robert Redford because I thought it was looked like Zach Galifianakis.
I know what you're talking
And he's in the river or whatever. I don't know what
it was.
I'm like,
was in,
what was that movie?
It was...
and it's Robert Redford.
About him being in the woods by himself.
Yeah, I don't know that movie. I didn't see it.
I saw it when I was a kid on one of the local channels. I don't remember what it was called, though.
Man, I saw that. What about the movie with him and Indecent Proposal? If you've never seen that, Robert Redford's got a bunch of money, and he basically says, hey, Woody Harrelson, let me give you a bunch of money for Demi Moore, and let me have her for the night.
And surprisingly.
And they have a conversation. They go, okay. And then it falls. And then their whole marriage falls apart.
Their marriage, surprisingly. Yeah. Jeremiah Johnson because the name of that movie.
Yeah. Jeremiah Johnson.
Woody didn't have the money. Because guess what? Money won again.
Well, all right, we got callers. Let's get in here. We're going to let you get in here. We're not going to go on and on and on like we have been. We'll let you guys get in, and we'll do it in a hurry. 713-780-3776. Who's next, though? Larry is next. Hey, Larry.
I think it's fair to say special teams was the best unit out there last night.
Oh, yeah.
Thinking back to Ohio State, there was concern about CJ that he was a pocket passer, that he really didn't move around at all. And then there was this game in the playoff against Georgia where he was scrambling, he was moving, making plays on his feet. And it's like, wow, he's raised his game to another level. But now it looks like he's regressed. He's more comfortable with a pocket passer. There's apparently no RPO at the goal line. I mean, they're just going to hand off the ball, and I guess the tush push is not in the playbook when they're at the one-yard line, maybe because it's the offensive line just can't move the defensive line. But he's just apparently not very comfortable at all moving around. They don't have any plays for him to scramble or to do an RPO.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things that they could be doing that they're just not doing. I don't know. It's just a boring, terrible, blah, blah, offense. That's what it is. And, yeah, CJ's become, let me just stand here, hold the ball. The S2 may be right. S2 may be right. I mean, he just holds. He's Arch Stroud. That's who he is.
Boo. Arch is not. C.J. Stroud played in college football playoffs and played well against Georgia. What has Arch ever done?
Nothing. I don't want to get an Arch conversation. Yeah. All right. Who's next, Del? Corey. What's up, Corey?
Hey, guys. Good morning. It's Corey in Virginia. Watched the game last night. I will say that the only one, a few positives, is I did see some good things from the offense, but not very much. And the special team unit was really good. But the thing that was irritating me throughout the night was the lack of the penalties. This has just been a consistent issue for the last couple of years under DeMeco Ryans. And, it's very frustrating because it's always like penalties on the defensive end at key moments. It's like, oh man, you could have gotten off the field if you didn't call that penalty. And the other thing that really irked me last night was that in the goal line situation there, at the third down there, I was sitting there watching the game. I was like, kick the field goal, take the point, get on the board, because it's a close game. It's clearly a defensive game there, and they go for it, and they don't convert it. And that right there, it's like, okay, well, it'd be nice to have those 3 points. And then, I mean, now a lot of folks are going to look back at the hindsight 2020, but that right there in the moment, right before the play, right before that goal line situation, was like, take the points. And that's also been a consistent issue. Like, I've seen multiple situations here with the Texans so far where we end up in these situations, like, man, just take the points, get on the board, and then play defense. I mean, the defensive unit was doing okay, except for getting pushed up against the run game there. I mean, that's my take. I want to hear you guys' take. Thanks.
I was thinking about field goal, too, at the time. Coaches, I don't know. You regret it. I mean, if you had that field goal, the whole game is different.
Yeah, and you're a defense first team. As he mentioned how the game was going, but I think it's clear this is a defensive-led team, so play to your defense. And your defense, you take points when you can get them. This offense can't be counted on to execute.
No.
So when you have, I understand the touchdown. Great, you did all that work to get down there. You want to score a touchdown, but after the third down miss, and I know what defense I have, I think I'm taking points and leaning into that defense. Get another stop. Maybe you cause a turnover, disruptive, whatever it is, so you don't have to be in a spot where you need a touchdown as it broke. The game broke in different ways, but I don't think this offense can be trusted, so I'm always taking points with this team right now. Third and goal, fourth and goal.
Yep.
You count on this team to score a touchdown?
I mean, no. It would be a super Kubiak move,
no. But
if you just do the math, it would benefit them.
But know your team more
than
anything.
But nobody in the NFL is doing that.
I know,
anymore.
But if you're the Lions, cool. Go get yourself a touchdown. But if you're the Texans.
But no NFL teams, they're too. The analytics just say, especially three plays from the one. You know, if you only have one play, if it's the one and a half or two, it's different. There was no doubt that they were going to go for it. It's just the problem is you can't even quarterback sneak. I've been shocked. Truly shocked at how few teams can run good quarterback sneaks. Philadelphia makes it look so easy, and Tom Brady used to make it look easy.
Well, Philadelphia cheats doing it, though.
We
saw that.
Well, I know. But plus, they have a quarterback who squats 600. But Philadelphia makes it look like Philadelphia is unstoppable. I see quarterback sneaks all the time that don't work at all. Now, the two things I'm seeing on tape, you can get some push from Ursary and Lake and Tomlinson. Snap the ball and run over the left guard and left tackle for a quarterback sneak, or direct snap to a running back and let him run so that there's not a mesh point handoff that takes too long to develop.
Direct snap, isn't that creative or something?
I mean, it's not even that creative. Well, you're sitting in a pistol.
Well, for this team,
yeah.
Direct snap. We got a full board.
No, we got a break. Well, we got a break, and then we'll get to the full board. 713-780-3776, guys. We're gonna let you get in.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna let you talk, but we're behind. Underdog Fantasy is what Lance is talking now quickly.
Underdog Fantasy. So I let you down a little bit with the catches on Nico Collins. I was right on the running game yesterday on that Monday night, and I let you down with O'Marrion Hampton. Well, I think I went to bed, but I don't think he got there. So, you know, sometimes it'd be like that when you're playing Underdog Fantasy. You got to figure out the stats. Are you going to go higher or lower on a stat for a player? The great thing is there's different games and there's different days. As I once heard someone, a famous man, say, the trumpet plays every day, meaning you got games going on every day, baseball, basketball, football, whatever the season is. And right now, football, lock in on that Thursday night game and start to study, and then start to decide how the game's going to go, and then you pick the statistics, higher or lower. Don't be afraid to pick lower. Everyone goes higher all the time. Listen, more times than not, it's going to hit lower on the statistics. Don't be afraid, because if you pick four players right on their high or low, you're getting paid, and those payouts are starting to really go up and up and up, and you can make good money. Make your deposit, download the app, Underdog Fantasy. Make the deposit with promo code Lance. With your first $5 play, they're going to give $50 of bonus cash into your account to use however you see fit. And this is a chance to make real money, good money, while you're watching the games. Play with the games that you're watching with Underdog Fantasy. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code Lance.
Must be 18 plus and present in Texas. Terms apply. See access.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms _DFS_HTML for details. Consult with your play. Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.com.